Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
God has called us as fathers to not just raise children, but to raise legacy. And if you have been here these last couple of weeks talking about walking with God, we unwrap Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33, which says and commands us to obey all the commandments, all that God has written. And when we do so, when we walk in that obedience, that the Lord your God, he will bless you. He will make you live and prosper. And he will prolong your days in the land that you will possess. So we've talked about living and prospering, and we just spent a few moments these last few weeks talking about God prolonging our days and how that's not a statement only about lifespan, it is about legacy. If you're a father in this room today, I want to commend you for being at church on a Sunday morning. And whether this is just a Sunday morning because it's Father's Day or you're here every Sunday when the doors are open, I want to commend you for being a spiritual leader in this church and in your house. I want to commend you that you are not just telling your kids how to be successful in the world by the world standard, but you are teaching and leading your family how to be successful in the kingdom of God. Because at the end of the day, what does it matter if we raise billionaires that are not going to go to heaven? What does it matter if we raise Fortune 500 CEOs and COOs if they are not concerned with the kingdom of God? This isn't a sermon about lifespan and a good life. It is about a life that leaves legacy. A life walked with God leaves a trail that others can follow. Your obedience may bless generations after you, and so we must live like it. That's how powerful a walk with God and living a life of faith can be. It's not just about the life that you and I live, but it is about the legacy that you leave. Most of you in this room today did not have the privilege of meeting my grandfather on my dad's side. If you have ever met Steve Fender and Brandon Fender and you've seen us preach, we are the antithesis of my grandfather, a great Christian man, but a very quiet and reserved man. If he was alive today, he would be sitting on the second or last row of this building. Never wanted to be in the spotlight, never wanted to be out front, but he was a constant and consistent man of God and follower of Jesus Christ. And because he set that in motion, his son stood on his shoulders and reached to greater heights. And I'm now standing on the shoulders of multiple generations because of legacy reaching to greater heights. Remember this, you don't have to be loud and hold a microphone to live and leave a legacy of faith. You can serve God in a very loud and consistent way. Remember, for every David there was that was out in the valley defeating Goliaths and slinging stones to bring down the giant, there was a Jesse who was very quiet, but he was raising up a giant killer. Can I talk to the men in the room today? You might not be the loudest. We just need you to be the most consistent. You might never stand on a platform, but make the coffee table and the bedroom and make the dining room table the greatest pulpit of your life and make sure that you are raising giant killers that are going to go out in the highways and the byways of our community. Make sure that you are raising those that don't run away from conflict but run towards it. It's not about life that we live, but the legacy that we leave. If you're in the room or watching online tonight, we are all leaving a legacy. What kind of legacy are you leaving? A legacy of addiction, depression, selfishness. That is a legacy. A legacy of hate, of fear, of poverty? Or are you leaving a legacy of freedom, of worship, of salvation, of power, of love, of prosperity? As the worship team was worshiping today, not just in my own house, but I was looking at Tyler leading worship and his sister beside him leading worship. And I thought, wow, what a legacy of worship that has been passed down from their grandparents and their parents before them. But it wasn't just us, but the young man with the cap on here, Garrett, that had Jeremiah across his chest. His grandmother and his mother have stood on this platform and led worship. I'm talking about people who are not just concerned with themselves, but they're saying, I need to get enough Jesus, and I need to be so close to Jesus, and I need to be so Jesus conscious and Jesus forward that my children and my children's children receive the legacy. So there's four things that every father must do to leave a legacy. Number one, a father must walk with integrity. Everybody say integrity. Integrity. Remember, integrity and character are twins. They are synonymous. You cannot have character without integrity. You can't be integrous without character. But a lot of us spend most of our time on our reputation. You know how I know most of us spend time on our reputation? Is there's probably less than a dozen people who are not on social media. And social media is about reputation, not character and integrity. Because a lot of the people behind those computer screens are just showing you what they want to show you. But they're not showing you who they are behind closed doors. And they're not showing you what they really struggle with. They're just showing you the highlight reel of their life. And let me tell you, social media can make everybody look like rock stars. But every one of us has decisions that we make behind closed doors when it's just us and Jesus. And I want to encourage you that if you are going to leave a legacy, you cannot be one person in this room and show your children somebody else in the living room. You can't praise God in here and never talk about him out there. That's why God would say things like, I want you to be hot or cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. You know how lukewarm happens? It's when you mix a little hot with a little cold. And can I tell you, this generation of young believers that is coming up does not need lukewarm leadership. They need mothers and fathers and pastors and leaders and teachers that are saying, I am all in. I am hot. I'm not one way here and one way somewhere else. I can tell you that my decisions have not always been popular with the two kids that I raised in my house. I'm sure that there was a lot of eye rolling. I'm sure there was a lot of times where they shut the door, just the quiet scream in the room. Y'all remember those quiet screams? Cussing everybody out, flipping the bird behind closed doors. Oh, come on, don't act like you didn't do it. And I promise you, you say, oh, little Johnny would never. Johnny has done it this week. So my kids can tell you a lot of things about my imperfection, but there's one thing that I know that they can guarantee is that I'm not two-faced. I'm the same man in the living room as I am in the altar. I am the same person at the dinner table as I am at the communion table. Come on. The same mouth that I worship God with is the same mouth that I'm talking with at the house. There is no lukewarm leadership. There is only legacy leadership, and legacy leadership leads with integrity. Leads with integrity. Proverbs 27, the righteous walk with integrity, and blessed are his children after him. Integrity is more than what people see. It is what you are when no one is watching. I love this. It has been said, and let me just preface what I'm about to say. How many of you know a hypocrite? Just raise your hand. Some of you are raising your hand like this. Are you sitting next to him? What are you doing? Just raise it. We all know him. We've all been hypocritical. Saying something that you don't do. Saying something that you truly don't believe. For this message, integrity is the, when you are a person of integrity, integrity is the private that you are in public. I'm going to make a bold statement. It would be better for you to be cold in here if you're going to be cold at home. What you don't want to teach your children is I've got a way that I act at church, and I got a way that I act in front of people, and I got a way that I act when nobody's watching. Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. Proverbs 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. How many of you love to talk about that God has ordered your steps? But years ago, Pastor Mandy said it on a Saturday night to our youth people. She said, you can talk about God ordering your steps all you want, but you are going to have to move your feet. And so I want to encourage you. It's not a point of moving your feet. You better make sure that your foot is hitting the place that God has ordered. And how does that happen? The Bible says here in verse 9 of Proverbs 10 that when you walk with integrity, you walk securely, meaning this, you're not going to slip. You're not going to fall. You're going to put your foot exactly where God has called it to be, talking about leaving a legacy. But he who makes his own ways crooked will be found out. In a world of compromise, God is looking for men and women of principle. The great Billy Graham said this, integrity means that your outward life is consistent with your inner convictions. Your outward life is consistent with your inner convictions. Some of you, and me at times, some of you, we can tell that you don't have a lot of inner conviction by the way that you're living. By how you react and what you're saying and what you're doing and bumping in the clubs and sleeping around and gossiping and slandering and defaming people, cheating on your taxes, cheating on your spouse, two-faced, it's getting quiet, putting your political affiliation over your Jesus affiliation. And I'm here to tell you today, make sure that your outward actions are meeting the inward, the inside convictions that you have, because either you are ignoring those convictions or you don't have those convictions. But you are in the right church this morning, because this is a church that is full of conviction. This is a church that you say, well, I didn't grow up with a dad and I didn't have strong parents. That's why God brought you to Living Way. We've got men and women sitting all over this room, scattered all over this room, that will call you out on your foolishness if you will give them that voice into your life. And let me tell you something, I've been foolish and I need to be called out. I'm still called out by mentors in my life saying, you got to clean that up. You got to do better. What were you thinking here? Why did you post that? What are you going through? What they're saying, hey, there's some inward convictions you need to have, and it's going to shape the integrity of your life. Our children need to see a consistent walk, not a convenient walk. They need to see consistency, not convenience. Convenience has a price. That's why you should never buy milk and bread at the Exxon gas station. Number one, you don't know how long it's been sitting there. You know, you have a lot of faith when you buy powdered donuts at a gas station. You don't know if they're going to be able to take out Goliath in a sling or whether they were shoved out on the shelf that morning. Convenience has a price. Y'all pray for me. I'm doing well in my weight loss. I've maintained. I haven't gone backwards. I haven't backslid, but I haven't lost like I want to. So I got to get back on it. But my daughter-in-law made me chocolate-covered strawberries for Father's Day. Praise God. Jessica and Michael made me banana pudding. Praise God. It's right there. I've been eyeing it while we've been preaching. But I'm gonna wash it down with that Dr. Pepper Zero, so it'll be okay. But I like candy. Y'all like candy? It's been a sensation now the last, I don't know, year and a half, but freeze-dried candy, Skittles. It'll change your life, y'all. I like Skittles anyway, but these free. So I went, Mandy had some, and so I ate some, and she started looking at me because I was eating a lot of hers. So I said, well, I better seal this up. Went and got my own. Well, I went to the gas station, just grabbed them off the little stand, and those things were $12. I said, Mandy, those are good, but they're not worth $12. She said, $12? I spent $5 for those. So where'd you get yours at? She said, Walmart or HEB. So then I told Tyler, and Tyler said, $12. And then he said, $5. He said, I spent $2. Same thing, but they paid a different price, because convenience will always cost you. Convenience will always be more expensive. And there's a lot of us that are walking a convenient walk with God. I walk with you when it's convenient. I listen to you when it's convenient. I go to church with you when it's convenient. I worship when it's convenient. I give when it's convenient. But the moment that you ask me for consistency, which is an ask of diligence, that I've got to do it every day, and I've got to do it all day, and I've got to show up every Sunday, and I've got to... Then we say, well, it's easier. Of course, it's easier to be convenient, but it is going to cost you. And in my way, it cost me 4 or 5 times what Tyler was paying for his. I'm here to tell you, I would much rather be consistent and not have to pay extra for what I want and what I need. And I am here to call somebody to a life of consistent integrity in your life so that you can leave a legacy. Our kids need a repentant dad. Not just a righteous one. They need a dad that knows how to say, I'm sorry. They need a dad that not only knows how to say, I'm sorry, they need a dad that is free. And listen, I understand when your kids are young, you don't want to tell them your whole testimony, but they need to understand that the dad that is worshiping on Sundays and the mom that is serving on Wednesdays, that your life wasn't always that way, and there's some things that you've been through, and there's some stuff that you had to crawl through, and there's some things that Jesus rescued you out of. Can I just remind you that we were all lost and we were all messed up until Jesus stepped into our life? And so do not whitewash your testimony, and do not dilute the power of God, because I got news for you. Well, I don't want to give them any ideas. You don't need to give them any ideas. By second and third grade, they're hearing and dealing with things that you and I dealt with our junior and senior year of high school. Can I encourage somebody today? They need to see the righteous you, but they need to know that before I became righteous, there was a repentant me. Integrity. Number two, a father speaks identity. Somebody say identity. We are having just a crazy clash in our culture when it comes to transgenderism and homosexuality. I never mention homosexuality as a sin without saying that heterosexuality, out of the confines of how God created, is just as much of a sin as homosexuality. Well, the Bible calls homosexuality an abomination. I am here to tell you, sin is sin. Sin separates you from Jesus now and will separate you from Jesus eternally. But as we talk about identity, can I just tell you that the enemy is attacking culture in 2025. He is attacking your kids. He is coming for your kids. There's literally been organizations that have said publicly, we are coming for your kids. We are going to indoctrinate them. They're changing the way they think. What they're saying is our voice is going to be louder than mom's voice and dad's voice and the church's voice. So a father speaks identity. Matthew 3:17, I had never really read this in this context, but it is powerful. Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The Father God spoke identity and affirmation over Jesus. Before Jesus ever worked a miracle, before the water was turned to wine, before Lazarus ever came out of a grave, the Father, in this moment where Jesus was baptized, he affirmed him and said, I am well pleased with the decision that you have made. Can I talk to the rough and tough dad today? You might be a man, but you are not too much of a man to embrace your children, look them in the eye and tell them that you love them, to hug them and kiss them on the cheek. I am mortified, and I'm excited that Living Way can be this for people, but I am mortified how many people that I am meeting on a consistent basis, that when I tell them I am proud of them, or I hug them, or I love them, for them to look in my eye or message me later on that week and say, Pastor, you're the first person that has ever embraced me. You're the first person that has ever loved me. You're the first person that has ever said that you're proud of me. And in that moment, I feel so good that Living Way can do that. But also, I look back and I say, you're 35 years old. Where were your parents? Where was your dad? Where was leadership in your life? And so when I hear that, it terrifies me and it makes me so sad. But it also says, Brandon, be very liberal with your praise for people. Let them know they're valuable. Let them know they're seen. Affirm them. And here's the thing, affirmation has become big to certain communities. I don't have to affirm what you do to affirm you. I love you, I just don't like what you're doing. You know how many times in 22 years of marriage that I'm sure Pastor Mandy has not liked what I did, but she still loved me? It happens. Every day of my life, I'm sure God is like, shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. He didn't say, well, I'm removing my blood and anointing from you. He says, I love you. Don't do that anymore. There's a better way. Affirmation, speaking identity. Our children need to hear these three phrases. You are loved. You matter. And I'm proud of you. I've told you many times that Pastor Becky in my life, if I could count to one or two things, number one, she taught me from a very young age the power of choice, that everything in life is a choice. But one of the greatest things that Becky Fender ever did for me and my brother is she gave us an irrational confidence. She told us we were the best looking, we were the smartest. She told us there was no one on planet Earth like us. She did it so much that when I fail, I am surprised because I was affirmed so much as a kid. I had so much words of, man, you're anointed and God's gonna use you to do this. And so when the enemy comes in with a different identity, I know that's not the identity that my mother said, but most importantly, it's not the identity that my father has of me. Can I encourage you? Call your kids. Call your nephews and nieces and those that God has placed in your life, spiritual sons and daughters, and say those three phrases over the next few days. I love you. You matter. You're important. You're valued. And I'm proud of you. I'm not proud of everything you're doing right now, but I'm proud that you're still in the race. I don't love everything that you stand for right now, but I love you, and there is nothing you can do about it. It is those words that will build identity, and you say what you want to see, not what you always see. It's a great thing. I've preached about it for many years. George Foreman, the great heavyweight champion, saw him interviewed one time, and he said, I had a decent relationship with my father, but he never really spoke much life and encouragement to me when I was younger. But he did say on the weekends, he said he would be in that recliner watching boxing on TV. And little George, 5, 6, 7 years old, would be on the floor next to that recliner playing with his toys. And he said every once in a while during a commercial break or at some point during the match, his father would reach over and just rub George's head and say, George Foreman, the next heavyweight champion of the world. He said, I didn't get everything I thought I wanted from my dad and what I needed from my dad, but he said, my dad did just enough to speak into my life. And he said he used to call me the heavyweight champion of the world, and you fast forward 30 years, and that's exactly what I became, all because he had a dad speak over and into his life. Now, if a dad could do that physically by saying that a dozen times over an imperfect child, what could daily affirmation and identity coming from the Father, coming from the one who knows him best, what could that do for your home and your children? Use your words to build up your children. And I think it's the great Craig Rochelle, who pastors one of the greatest movements in our nation. And I read this a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't even in the confines of prepping for this message. But man, I've thought about this the last 2 weeks because I've lived this out. Bishop, my father has had 2 brushes with death, and he's cheated death twice now in the last 13 years, and I'm so grateful for it. He preached his first message back this morning and last weekend, and so I'm excited and I'm grateful. But this is what Craig Rochelle said. He said, your voice as a father becomes your child's inner voice. So when they don't think they can, they hear what their father said about them. And that inner voice is always talking, but what is it saying? You're not good enough, you're stupid, you're just like your mom, you're a loser just like everyone else? Or is it saying, no, you can do it, all things through Christ who strengthens you? There is a God that is in you that is greater than he that is in the world. You are smart enough to tackle this. You will get the job done. God is going to bless you. You're going to do twice as much as me and your mom did. And I have seen that because in the last 13 years, I have sat at the bedside of my father in the hospital after the doctors have said once that he would definitely not live through the night and through this most recent thing that if he makes it, his life is going to be drastically changed. And there was all kinds of prognosis and diagnosis that were not great. And in my voice, while he was laying there asleep, I could hear him talking. And can I tell you how awesome it is to look at the miracle that you need, but in your voice, his mouth ain't moving, but in your ear, his voice is talking. Everything's going to be all right. The God that I preach is going to get me out of this bed. I hope that my children, in times where they've had to make tough decisions, I hope that they have not heard Gary Vee's voice. I hope that they have not heard Warren Buffett's voice. I hope they have heard their grandparents' voice and their mother's voice and my voice saying, hey, you are too anointed to fail. This is not where it's going to end. There is more to life ahead of you. Speaking identity. Number three, a father leaves a spiritual legacy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands that I give to you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home. Some of us don't even talk about Jesus when we're at his house, surrounded by brothers and sisters. I can't imagine what it's like to sit in a worship service like that, like we just had 40 minutes ago, and just... they're seeing dead things come to life, and their death is not the future, all of those things. And you're just standing, everyone's jumping, everyone's moving, and you're just standing there. Why is that? If you can't do it here, I know you're not doing it there. I loved when my kids were younger and they both lived at the house. Mandy and I would have devotions with them at the dinner room table. We all had our highlighters, and we'd go verse by verse, and they would tell us what they got out of it. And let me tell you something. Little Jaden, you think she's awesome now. She was saying some pretty revolutionary things at 6 or 7 years old. You're like, where'd you hear that from? And I know that God was speaking to her, but I also know she learned it from Sunday school, and she learned it from Catalyst Kids, and learned it from Grandma, and learned it from being here. But we also rehearsed it at home. Coming to church and expecting Jesus to do everything here and not doing anything at home is like eating a salad tomorrow morning and thinking you're going to get in shape. There are people that I just shake my head at on social media because you've been living in the gym the last 3 years, but we see no proof. And the problem is we see your gym pictures on Monday morning and we see your enchilada pictures on Monday night. But you know what's worse than that? Is coming into church, checking in on social media, taking a selfie with your best friend out in the foyer, and letting the world know, I went to church, but not talking about it at home, not living it at your job, not talking with God before you come back on Wednesday or Sunday. When we talk about spiritual legacy, Deuteronomy over and over, it talks about total obedience and wholeheartedly. It's not a Sunday thing, it's an everyday thing. It's not a when you need it thing, it's a I need it every day, so I'm gonna get it every day. Repeat it again and again to your children. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. This one hurt me. Legacy isn't just about what you leave for your kids, but it's about what you leave in your kids. Mandy and I wrestle with what to do as God has blessed us, and we're the most blessed right now in this season than we have ever been in our life, and that is because of God. But we are also, to the penny planners. I'm going to tell you what, when I go to heaven, if I'm not raptured, when I go to heaven, the state is not going to get one dime of my fortune. We're meeting with lawyers to build trust. I'm not going to let my kids be taxed to death. I'm not going to let them take the ranch. This isn't the Yellowstone thing. We're going to do our due diligence. But that's me working hard to make sure that what I have for my kids is left for my kids. But you know what's greater than what I leave for my kids? What I leave in my kids. Because what I leave in my kids is what's going to put them in front of Jesus one day and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Teaching my kids to pray is better than teaching my kids to pay. Teaching my kids to worship is greater than teaching my kids to work. And I'm not saying it's either or. You can do both. But we've got to make sure that we are making a consistent effort to give our kids, place something in them and not just do something for them. Passing on faith in Christ is the most important inheritance. Make your home a place where faith is lived, not just taught. Pray together, give together, serve together, be the example. I can take you to a home in Windcrest where I grew up, 8710 Spanish Moss, right off of Kitty Hawk. I remember the first time that my mom sat down with me at the kitchen table and she said, I'm going to start giving you an allowance. I said, what's an allowance? That's how you knew I was blessed. She said, I'm going to give you $2 a week. I said, for what? She said, well, you're going to do your chores. You're going to take out the trash. You're going to do all of these things. I was just 6-7 years old. And she would never give me $2 in $2 bills. She would always pay me with a dollar and 10 dimes. And she would lay it out on the kitchen table every week. And she'd say, that dollar bill is yours. 8 of those dimes are yours. And then she'd take her 2 little fingers and get 2 dimes. But this is the Lord's. And right then I learned how to tithe. And let me tell you something. She had to teach me and tell me that over and over for the first few allowances. These two dimes, they belong to God. But after a couple months, she'd sit down with me, put it on the table. I put my dollar bill and 8 dimes, and then I said, these 2 dimes belong to Jesus. It wasn't something that I was berated about at church. It was something I heard at church, but it was something that was exemplified at home. I can tell you, all I know about Jesus until I'm blue in the face. But until I show you outside of Living Way, it's just tinkering brass and clanging cymbals. So don't just show up to church, take it home, spiritual legacy. Standing on your feet in the room today. Finally, number 4, a father reflects the heart of God. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Earthly fathers can fail, church, but our heavenly father never fails. I have failed as a parent. I have failed as a man. I have failed as a husband. I have failed as a pastor. Any position I hold, I have failed in or at. But I'm so grateful that I'm connected to a heavenly Father who has never failed. And because he's undefeated, he extends his hand of grace and mercy and says, Brandon, get back up and let's do this again. But this time, you're coming from a place of experience and wisdom. Dr. James Dobson says this, children are not likely to find a father in God unless they find God in their father. Of all the things I've done for my kids, and I wish I was in a place that I could do more for them. But of all the things that I know I've done, is I've allowed them to see God in me. I've reflected the Father. If I had thought about it, I would have brought out a mirror. And when that light's shining, I can catch that light, those rays of light, and I can bounce it right into your eyes. What's above me can be reflected or deflected to you. If you're going to leave a legacy for your children, for your community, I've never said this before. Maybe you're 65 years old, you've never been married, you've never wanted to be married, you have no children, and you're thinking this was just a waste of a Sunday. No. You're leading community. You can leave legacy without ever having a biological child. You just got to reflect the right things. Reflecting the heart of the Father. Jaden can tell you, Tyler can tell you, we've had some come to Jesus meetings at our house. and in these offices back here, where I took off the pastor hat and I put back on the dad hat, have uncomfortable conversations, conversations that made us look within ourselves. But every conversation that I've ever had and Mandy's ever had with them, we have done our best to reflect God into that situation and say, I know that you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm just speaking that the God of the universe loves you enough that he does not want you to keep going down that road, hanging out with those people, doing those things. There is a future for you. And the future for Tyler, future for this church, for you, it's my legacy. So when Tyler says, man, I've got a great future, he's talking about, dad, you better get that legacy done. Take care of your part. There may be women and men in this room today, that kids who have an absent father or a broken home where fathers were not around, but God steps in with healing and hope. Psalm 68:5 says that God is a father to the fatherless. You say, I don't know how to be a good dad because I didn't have a good dad. Being a good dad doesn't always come from being a good dad. You can learn what not to do just as easy as you can learn what to do. And you can be what you did not have. I'm closing with this story. There's a story of an alcoholic who had two sons. One of those sons grew up to be an alcoholic just like his dad. One grew up to never touch alcohol, and they interviewed both sons and they asked the alcoholic son, why are you an alcoholic? And he said, because my father was an alcoholic. It's all I ever saw, all I ever experienced. It was always in front of me, and so that's what I became. They asked the son who had never had a drop of alcohol, why aren't you an alcoholic? He said, because my dad was an alcoholic. It was all I ever saw, all I was ever around, all I ever experienced. So a lack of is not an excuse for. In a moment here today, and I don't want to point out people in this room today, but there's some real heroes in this room today because you did not have a dad. They were absent physically or spiritually. And look at you today. You did not let the enemy win. You said, I will. Not only will I leave a legacy, that legacy starts with me. So I challenge all the fathers in the room. In a culture of confusion, be a compass. In a world of noise, be a voice of truth. And in an age of absence, be present. I'm going to do something I've never done on Father's Day. And you don't have to if you don't want to. But I'm going to say this as strong as I can. If you don't, that's not a reflection on us. But I want every father in the room to join me in this altar right now. Biological, step, spiritual. This is not going to be no kumbaya meet and greet. We're not going to pass this microphone down the line. I see young fathers. I see new fathers. I see grandfathers. I see stepfathers. I see bonus fathers. I see fathers I've never seen before. I see fathers who are in leadership. I see fathers who I've known for 30 or 40 years. I see 60 and 70-year-old fathers. I see 20 and 25-year-old fathers. Mike, so good to see you again. Getting baptized today, right? Getting baptized today. He was led to Jesus by Brother Johnny a week ago, and I met him last Sunday. He's here to be baptized. So proud of you, Mike. Jesus changed the world with 12 imperfect men. Actually, check that, 11, because one of them didn't leave a legacy. He killed himself. So let me just pause and say this right here. You're too valuable to go out like that. If suicide has been a thought, that thought dies right now. And there is hope found in Jesus. You are too valuable to your family. You are too valuable to your church and your community. 11 men he changed the world with. If Jesus could change the world with 11, what could we do in San Antonio and South Texas with the 50 or 60 men in this altar today? And I am not here to rah-rah you and cheerlead you on and get you emotional. I am here to challenge you to be the compass, to be the voice of truth, and to be present in your children's life. Buy them the iPads. That's cool. Take them to play basketball and put them on the football and cheerleading squad. Awesome. But make sure you're teaching them how to follow Jesus. Not just telling them, but showing them this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask some of our men, our strong men in this room today, that if you're not standing in this room, Garrett, if you can come help us pray. I know I've got most of our prayer partners in the altar now. Esteban, come help us pray. I want you to lay hands on all of these men. I appreciate Pastor Mandy and Jaden and Sister Reba. After some of these men, after you've been prayed for, I'm going to call on you. You received. I'm going to call on you to go ahead and start laying hands on your brothers in Christ right now. In Jesus' name, God, I am calling all of us, God, to a level of surrender, to a level, God, of consistency, God, and not of convenience. Let us follow you with all that is within us. Let us not become so weak that we turn our back, God, and take the easy way out, God. Let us not waste resources because of convenience, but, Lord, let us dig in right now, Lord. Lord, I believe, God, there are men in this room today that, Lord, they're standing here thinking about the mistakes and the wouldas and shouldas and couldas, but right now, God, you are restoring the years, restoring families, God. Lord, you are anointing them today for this season. Lord, there are young dads in this room, God, that they can still make a huge difference in their small young children at the house. They might not remember the addicted dad. They might not remember the abusive dad, but Lord, what they will remember is I have a dad that knows Jesus, that knows how to worship, that led us, God, to church. God, I'm grateful. But Lord, let me talk to the middle age or the older father that maybe they came to Jesus late. You might have came late, but you're not too late. And God will restore the years to your family. And you say, I wish I would have been in church so I could have raised them in church. Yeah, but they saw the you, and now they see the new dad, the new you. And Lord, I believe that you're going to reach through them to their families and to their children. We're calling prodigals home in Jesus' name. We're calling prodigal grandkids home in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm believing, God, that there is a fervor. There is a perseverance. God, there is a strength. There is, God, a loudness, God, of lifestyle that is rising up in these men today. Let us be men that speak identity. Let us be men that leave a legacy. Let us, God, be men after your own heart, men of integrity, men of substance. In Jesus' name. You don't need to rush out of this altar. You can if you need to, but now I'm going to open it up for anyone in the room. Ladies, thank you for giving us a chance to just speak to these men. But if you are a woman of God in this room today and you say, I need to come to that altar right now, this is an invitation for you to join us, because we need women of integrity. We need women that are leaving a legacy. Can I talk to the single mom that you're like, man, I don't even have a husband right now helping me raise these kids. Their father has checked out on me. Right now, you're the mom and the dad, but you can still leave a legacy. You can still leave a legacy. God bless. Families are coming to the altar still. Families are coming and joining us in the altar. God bless you, young people. God bless you, Tina. Miss Barbara, God bless you. Man, look at these families coming. Young men, keep on coming. Keep on coming. Gina, so good to see you. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. Victoria, keep on coming. In the name of Jesus. If you want to give your life to Jesus, this is your moment. Father's Day Sunday. I don't know how many years ago, but in the old building, so it's had to be at least 30 years ago, one of our ushers here at Living Way, I grew up with his kids, never came to church except on Easter and Father's Day, twice a year, lived 2 miles from this campus, came twice a year, was an alcoholic, came twice a year, sat on the back row, never lifted his hands in worship, never came to the altar until one Father's Day, he left that back row and he came down and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And since then, I bet you he hasn't missed five services in 30 years and he serves. What happened? He met Jesus that day and it changed his life and changed the trajectory of his family. If that's you and you need Jesus, this is your moment. If you're in this house and you want to be baptized in water on Father's Day, this is your moment. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your moment. I see hands uplifted all over the room today. People are receiving at your seat and in this altar. I'm going to step off the platform and add my faith. But this is a moment, church. This is a moment where legacy is built. This is the first domino. This is the start, the beginning of something brand new. Let's worship.